Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
When you start maintaining concepts about God that is not what he has revealed in his word, you are committing idolatry. It is for that reason I have taken all the pain to try to help you to understand God is love. It's not the same as love is God.
In this week's message, Pastor Neil invites us to reflect on one of the most profound truths in all of Scripture. God is love. Pastor Neil reminds us that God is the originator of love. Every expression of true, selfless, sacrificial love finds its source in Him. And because love is at the core of God's nature, intimacy with Him will naturally produce love in us. The closer we walk with God, the more we begin to reflect His heart. Whoever does not love does not know God. He points out that God's love is not shallow or sentimental. It is eternal, steadfast, holy, and everlasting. It is a love that never fails, never fades, and never gives up. And because of this unshakable love, we can endure every hardship, overcome every trial, and outlast every storm. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. God is love.
All right. So we will use as a subject this morning, God is love. Say that with me. All right. And we will focus on two verses. First John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. And the principle is this. Since God is love, intimacy with Him will produce love in you. If you really have intimacy with God and God is love, then you will end up living a life that is full of what? Love. But we want to understand this love. So 1 John chapter 4, we'll read two verses. And if you can read with me, it will be so great for me. We'll read from the New Century Version. Are you ready? All right, ready? Read. Dear friends, we should love each other. Pause. Let's start it again. Ready? Go. Dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. Verse 8, go. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Is it self-explanatory? So the first thing I want you to see, going back to verse 7, is that love comes from God. It originates with Him. So a human being who writes a book on love, and if they sidestep the scriptures, everything they tell you, don't buy it. Because love originates from God Himself. He is the originator of love. Say that with me. Love comes from God. Say that with me. Love comes from God. If you are a girl and some guy met you and say, you know, I love you. I've been very good at love. And he starts wanting to get somewhere, which is against scripture. He does not understand love. What he's talking about is lust. Are you with me? So number one, love comes from where? All right. But we are going to focus on the second one. He says that we must love because love comes from God. But number two, verse 8, read with me again, shall we? Whoever does not love does not know God. Now, I wanted you to pause there. Whoever does not love does not know God. We have to take these things seriously. Whoever does not love does not know God. Now, so I'm going to take my time and explain to you carefully what the scripture means when it says God is love. Are you ready to go with me? We'll begin with the verb in that statement. What is the verb in the statement? Is. Is a verb. Yes, it is a verb. Am, I am is a verb. We call them the aspects of the verb to be. Am, are, is. So is the third one. We want to be careful that we do not misuse that word. That the word is a form of verb to be. And it's often used to link a subject to a description. For example, let me give you a natural example. The sky is blue. Do you agree the sky is blue? But is it blue all the time? And therefore, the sky is the object, blue is the description, and is now being used to link the two. Are you following me? So most of the time, whatever you see is, there is an object, and then there is what? A description. Our statement says God is what? So God is the object, and love is the description. Okay. Now I need you to follow me. Sometimes, whenever you see the word or the verb is, you notice that there is no need for an object. Let me give you an example. The result of adding 5 and 3 is 8. There's no object in that sentence. Do you agree? I need you to follow me. If you don't understand this, you become a modern day man. And I know by now some of you are asking, what is the need for this, Pastor? Because I don't want you to commit idolatry. Idolatry is serving something that looks like God, but is not Him. So when you have a wrong mindset about God, it is idolatry. Just so you know. So let's go back to it. The result of adding 5 and 3 is what? In this context, the word is like an equal sign, correct? 5 plus 3 is equal to. So if you import this definition into God is love, then some people will say God is equal to love. That is wrong. That is not what John is saying here, but that is what you hear many people teach. I want to correct it. God is not equal to love, because not all the kind of love. In other words, when you reverse it, it means love is equal to God. But not all the love in our world is like God. When you do that, you have watered down the love of God. And I don't want you to do that. Most of us are not able to give love because we don't even understand the love of God. And I want to take a moment to help you understand this basic truth. Have you followed me so far? So then we need to ask ourselves, in what sense is the Apostle John using the verb is in God is love? He's using it in a hyperbole form. Let me define it for you. Please write it down. John is saying that God is love means that God is incredibly loving, making love a deep, intimate quality of His character. God is incredibly what? Loving. When you look at the way He loves, it's not simple. It's not ordinary. It's not like some men who tell the girls, I love you. And then the next second, he's on the corner with somebody else telling them, I love you. When God says He loves you, it's a pretty serious thing. Right? And when John says God is love, it means that love is intimately part of His character, who He is. Secondly, God is love, John says, it means that God is intertwined with love. That it is very easy to look at Him and say He embodies or He's an epitome of love. Epitome simply means symbol. When you look at Him, then you can say He's love. Are you with me? You are in a theological class now. So you need to write. You can't put that in your head. And the statements I'm making are heavy. Because that statement, God is love, is not a simple statement. So what the Apostle John is saying is that you cannot say that love is God. But you can say that the way God is, Love is part of his nature. Are you with me? It will start making sense as we go. What I'm trying to correct, just so we don't do the same things that everybody does, is to make sure that we interpret God as love in the right way. John 14, 6, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the I am, is another verb related to is. So Jesus is saying, I am this, I am that, I am. So it's like, you can say Jesus is truth, he is the way, he is that. But it doesn't mean that every way is Jesus. Are you following me? It does not mean that every truth is Jesus. But truth is so much associated with him, and there is no falsehood in him, that when you talk about truth, you can say that Jesus embodies it. Are you understanding the sense in which it is being used? And I want you to really understand that. There is a cultural issue in our day where you hear many people say, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love. And love has become very superficial. So we tend to import the secular definition into the scriptures. And when we say God is love, he loves us only when he gives us what we like. He loves us if everything is going good. If the things are not going good, then he doesn't what? Love us. That definition, there is something wrong with it. And I want us to kill it, because when he says, love the people just as I have loved you, you only go and like the people who like you. That's not what he's saying. You have to like and love the ones who vehemently hate you. You have to love them. And I've seen Christians sometimes hide behind, you know, the way the people are, they are not loving, so me too, I'll stay in my corner. You are becoming, all right, let me keep quiet. You know what you are becoming, so there's no need telling you that. The only reason I'm going through all of this to try and explain this truth to you is that when you don't maintain the correct idea about God, you are in idolatry. Do you see it? What is idolatry? Idolatry is sometimes making an image that looks like God and what? Worship him. Take the imagery and the symbols away. When you start maintaining concepts about God that is not what he has revealed in his word, you are committing idolatry. It is for that reason I have taken all the pain to try to help you to understand God is love. It's not the same as love is God. They're two separate things. Now here comes the truth. Write it down. To grasp any single attribute of God, you need to see how that attribute connects with all the other attributes of God. Anytime you are going to explain an attribute that relates to God, that attribute must connect with all the other attributes that God has. You cannot explain one without the other. That statement there is a powerful theological statement. You never explain God's attribute like God is love and keep it separate from the others. For example, theologically, we believe that God is sovereign. When we say God is sovereign, it means that he is who he is. He can do whatever he wants. And he wants to do it whenever he wants it. But love must be connected to that. So when we say God is love, it is about his sovereign, what? Love. When we say God is eternal, then it is what? His eternal, what? Love. If you read the scriptures, you notice that all the time, the scriptures preface the love of God. It simply doesn't just say the love of God. It will say the steadfast love of the Lord, the unfailing love of the Lord. Why? Because he must connect love to God's nature, his attribute. If you don't understand that, then if God is a father and he loves, and your father also loves you, and your father molested you, then it sounds like God might be molesting us. He never does. Sometimes the comparisons we make are error. It needs to be corrected. Amen? So God's love is an eternal love, and God's love is a sovereign love, and God's love is immutable love. That word immutable means unchanging. Right? And God's love is a holy love. The reverse is also true. If I begin to talk about the eternal nature of God, then I must also understand that that reverse also works out. Have you ever heard somebody who says that, as for me, my God is a God of love, so he can't send people to hell? Have you heard it before? But the same God who is a God of judgment is also a God of what? You have to view the two together. If you view the two together, we call it loving justice. God will make sure there is justice, but his love is attached to it. Let me ask you, parents, when your kids want their way and you don't give them their way, does that mean you hate them? That's love. Because sometimes if I give you your way, you'll be drowned. So I want you to come to that place where the Apostle John is saying, hey, he first loved you. So love your brothers and sisters. But I want you to understand what that love is actually about. Are you with me? Okay, good. I'm glad you are understanding where we're going. So when you go through the scriptures, you'll find things like faithful love, loyal love. The Hebrew says hesed. It is God's steadfast love. Unfailing love. Everlasting. Come on, talk to me. Eternal love. Why does the scriptures describe God's love that way? Because he says, you cannot just look at God just as an object of love. It must be tied to his nature. And I want to talk about two of them. But before the two, whenever we talk about God's love, it must be tied to his holiness. So we call it a holy love. Because there are all kinds of love, and some of the love in our world is profane. The word holy could be defined two ways. Number one, the word holy means to set something apart. It's different. It's one of a kind. It's unique. So when you talk about holy love, you are saying that God's love is the kind of love that is one of a kind. It's different. It's not the same as anybody else's what? Love. So don't compare your father's love, who did all kinds of crazy things to you, and say because he's a father and God is a father, they are the same. They are not the same. Are you with me? Another definition of holy is purity. It's pure, without mixture. So when we say that the love of God is holy or holy love, we are saying that God's love has no mixtures. It's clean. Are you guys with me? But we need to lay this basis. God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of what? Love. So we call it loving justice. He's holy. He's loving. And it's a holy love. God is omniscient. Omnipresent. All those things have something to do with his love. If God knows all things, then it's an all-knowing what? Love. Don't sit there and think that he doesn't know what you are dealing with. He does. What I want you to see is that you cannot equate any kind of love to God. This is why the scriptures always qualifies that love, saying all the things that it says. Have you learned anything now? Okay, now let's come to the one you are like. Let me take two of them and we will delve deep into them. The Bible says that God is eternal. Say that with me. God is eternal. Say that with me. God is eternal. In other words, he doesn't have a beginning and he doesn't have an end. That is the layman's definition. The proper definition of eternal means God is self-existent. In other words, you can't trace when he was, and you cannot trace when he will end. No, he's self-existent. You can't even point to a beginning, because before the beginning, he was already there. When you explain love, you must tie it to his eternal nature and call it eternal what? Love. The love he has for you before you were born, that love was already what? In existence. It is eternal. It is a love that is permanent, unchanging. It has no start and no finish. So the Apostle Paul says, oh, how wide and how high, and how he talks about, he gives dimensions to the love of God. And he says, there is no explanation in the stuff. Lord, open their eyes to understand your love, that it cannot be compared to any human love. Young girls, if somebody shows up and they tell you, you know, I love you, you are my baby, tell them, go through that door and get lost. Because I have an eternal love. What good is it is to have somebody who loves you for 2 years, and then when you go to college and they see a new girl, they are over you. Settle for the one who loved you before you were born, loves you right now, and will forever what? Love you. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah 31. I want us to look at this in the scripture. Jeremiah 31. Are you there? If you can read with me, that would be great. Ready? Read. The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. What is he saying? He's saying that because of God's eternal or everlasting love, he's always going to be faithful. Faithful. The Latin says semper fidelis. Always what? Faithful. It is the faithfulness of God that makes us know that when we wake up tomorrow morning, some way, somehow, the sun will shine. You can't mess around with God's attributes. And when you define the love of God, it must be defined in those terms. Not somebody who they wait and there's trouble. You go to work and you come back and half of the bedroom is gone. That is no love. Young people, I'm happy you are here. Don't let nobody deceive you. God loves us with an everlasting love. He says, because of that, my faithfulness to you will continue. I pray that you understand what we just said. The second one is the steadfast love. We sing about it all the time, but you must understand what that means. Another way of putting steadfast love is unfailing love. It is a love that is grounded in God's promises to us. And it's often referred to as the Hesed, the steadfast or persistent love. You are doing crazy and foolish stuff, but God keeps coming after you. Okay, we are. All of us. Today you are born again, tomorrow you backslide. But God keeps coming after you. It is his steadfast love. The prophet Jeremiah says in the book of Lamentations, right? If you read from the English Standard Version, the other versions don't use the same word. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The steadfast, the unfailing love of the Lord. The book of Psalms chapter 40, look at verse 1. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Why? Because your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Notice how he always connects faithfulness to the steadfast love. One more verse. Isaiah 54, look at verse 10. Please read with me, shall we? It says, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. It does not even make sense for me to say, may you be a recipient of the steadfast love of God. Because God will automatically give it. There are three aspects of divine love. You cannot always say that God's love is unconditional. One aspect of his love is conditional. The condition is repentance. Sometimes we carry all these things with us. We have something we call the benevolent love of God. Because of that, he will always do things not only for Christians, but he will also do it for what? Unbelievers. So benevolent. His beneficent love. When God reigns, it doesn't only rain on the houses of Christians. So when you go back to the book of Exodus, where the angel only came to kill the Egyptians and did not touch the Israelites, God was introducing what is called his complacent love. The love that he has for those who have received him and are his people. They are not the same. That one has a condition. The condition is that you have received him and you live for him and you please him. Are you learning anything today? I know I took you on a journey a little bit today. Let's balance the equation. Romans chapter 8. We'll start from verse 35 to the end. And I will end this morning. Look at the person sitting next to you. And say that God's love is unfailing. Look at them again and say, God's love for you will never fail. Are you Romans 8? We'll start from verse 35 and we'll go to verse, whichever one is the last verse. You'll find it in your Bible. Are you ready? Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Okay, this is New King James. Ready, everybody? Read, go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 37, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Pause for a second. He says, yet in all, come on, talk to me, yet in all these things. What things? Tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword and being killed all day long. Are you understanding what we're doing? So he says, whenever you have issues, whenever you are dealing with problems, whenever it seems like everything is sort of like pushing you down, and that it looks like life is over for you, don't worry, because there is a love that can outlast the troubles you are in. It is called the everlasting love. I want you to pay attention to the prefaces, all right, whatever predicates these. The concept of love. If it is a loving kindness, in other words, you know how sometimes people show you love, but you can tell that there's no kindness attached to it. So when the Bible talks about the loving kindness of God, he's saying that when God shows you love, you know he's been kind to you. Okay, now let's finish reading. Okay, come on. Let's all finish 37 and then we'll go to 38. Go. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, nor human beings who decide they are going to put you down belong in this category. Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.